as we prepare our hearts for the proclamation of the word, will you join me in prayer before the second scripture reading?
You can go ahead and start playing.
God of the incarnation, open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirits, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Friends, now for our gospel reading. Listen to the opening words of the Gospel of John. At the very start, there was one who is called the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From day one, God and the Word were inseparable. It was through the Word that everything was created. There is absolutely nothing that doesn't owe its existence to the Word. In the Word was life. He is the source of life that turns on the lights for everyone. The light of his life breaks open the darkness, and the darkness could not snuff it out. Now, once there was a man who was on a mission from God, and his name was John. John gave a first-hand report about the light, spelling it out so that everyone could believe. But he wasn't the light himself. He made it his job to draw everyone's attention to the light. The real light was on his way into the world, the light that lights up inside of everyone. He was in the world, but the world didn't even notice him, even though it owed its existence to him. He turned up on his own planet, among those he created, but his own people turned their backs on him. Some people accepted him, though, and put their trust in who he said he was and what he said he was all about. He gave those people all they needed to become children of God. Becoming God's children had nothing to do with parent or child, but they become God's children who are literally born of God. The Word, though, was born flesh and blood like everyone else. He cast in his lot with us and rolled out his carpet in our midst. We have seen him in all his glory, like Father, like Son, warm and generous to a fault, solid and true to the core. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Must have been late afternoon. I could tell by how far the child's shadow stretched out, and he walked with a purpose in his sneakers down the street. He had any questions like children often do. He said, "Tell me all your thoughts on God." And tell me, am I very far?
So in our readings today, we hear two different accounts of what it means for God to literally break into this world. Again, it's not like God hadn't been doing that from the beginning. And both of these texts talk about that. You know, John says, in the beginning, there was one who was called the Word. In the beginning, not a little bit later on, in the beginning, from the very start, the proclamation of the fullness of who God is was there. But then in Hebrews, we hear again, okay, God has done this over and over and over again. God has spoken in many and various ways through the prophets. Over and over and over. But that's not clear enough. We need something even more. We need something even stronger. So God chooses to speak to us through the Son. This is the image that we get of a God who is willing to experience every part of what it means to be God's creation. In the fullness of who Jesus Christ is, as you just heard in the first verse of this song, we have a God who is a child, an inquisitive child who, you know, if you've ever been around a toddler, they don't stop asking questions. And that's not a bad thing. God has experienced that. God has not always been the one with all the answers, but the one who had to wrestle with the questions. So that's what we're going to mull around with today.
Must have been late afternoon. On our way, the sun broke free of the clouds. We count only blue cars, skip the cracks in the street and ask many questions like children often do. We said, tell me all your thoughts on God, 'cause I'd really like to meet her and ask her why we're who we are. Tell me all your thoughts on God, 'cause I'm on my way to see her. So tell me, am I very far? Am I very far now?
The song that you're hearing is a song called Counting Blue Cars by a 90s pop group called Dishwalla. Now, I had planned on using one of us, which we used for the prayer of confession this morning. That's been in my head for a while, and I knew that that was going to be part of this sermon. And then a few weeks ago, Zach and I were getting into the car, and this song started playing, and I went, okay, we have a second one. Now, I know this song. This song came out when I was in high school. I know this song quite well. I never, ever knew, and neither did he, and I bet none of you did either, that the song was called Counting Blue Cars. We had to search for everything about having thoughts on God and all that stuff, and that's what finally came up. So that's what this song is. And I found it very interesting that each verse of the song seems to speak to a different part of the incarnation. So in the first verse, we really get that image of God as a child asking those questions and trying to figure out what it means to be who he is in this whole thing. In this second verse, the image that I got was the disciples following Jesus around the countryside going, what is happening? As everything really starts to explode around them and Jesus starts to say the things that he wasn't supposed to say, the things that would eventually get him killed, they're following this guy around and going, why is he saying these things? Why is he saying that God's love is stronger than power, that God's love is stronger than the empire, and that God calls us all to rise above that? And so then they ask him, tell us your thoughts on God, which we know from the scriptures he was readily willing to do and did it for long periods of time. But those around him, and we're part of this now too, wrestle with those things that he says, with those things that he calls us to do, because he calls us to do things that aren't the most comfortable in the world. Sometimes we end up driving a truck in Africa. Sometimes we end up meeting people who have needs we didn't know they had. We end up meeting people whose needs are very similar to the ones we have ourselves but don't want to own. That is what the incarnation looks like. Because God calls us to get our head out of the clouds, as God literally did in the personhood of Jesus Christ. To have our heads stuck in heaven and not engaged with the people around us is not the call of the gospel. And this is what we hear in the incarnation.
It's getting cold, picked up the pace. How are shoes make hard noises in this place? Our clothes are stained. As many cross-eyed people and ask many questions like children often do.
Now, this verse brings us into the game. Because we're reminded in that last little section that you heard, we pass many cross-eyed people. We pass people and we don't know who they are. We pass people and we don't know what their needs are. And it is our job to engage with them. John tells us that God took on flesh and dwelt among us. We often translate that dwelt among us in Eugene Peterson's The Message. He translates that as God put on skin and moved into the neighborhood, which is a very, very good translation of the Greek, because it's not just that Christ plopped down on earth and wasn't a part of things. Christ moved in to society, moved in to every aspect of peoples and cultures and took root and did the things that he was called to do. And in that same spirit, we are called to do the same. We are called to know that God not only chose to move into our world, but to move into us. So we have that same spark that he has. And we have the same call that he has. We are called to reach out to those in need. We are called to reach out to those who feel unloved. We are called to reach out to those on the margins and bring them in. Because that is the fullness of who Jesus is. So my question for us today, and I want us to sit and think about this for a minute. How are we being called to live out the incarnation? How is the cry of the incarnation resonating within our souls and within our bodies as we figure out what it is that we are called to do? How it is that we are called to change the system? How it is that we are called to move out of our comfort zone and move into the neighborhood? So I invite you to meditate on that, to talk about that. One of the things that I've learned in my years of preaching is that the proclamation of the word is never done in a vacuum. When I begin to prepare a sermon, I pull in those that are close to me, and we start talking about it. These two were both willing to indulge my crazy idea and said that we might have something to say here. And I would pat Lanita's shoulder too, but she's busy. but it's important to have these conversations. When the Spirit is wrestling with you, let her. And don't be afraid to talk about it. Don't be afraid to talk about it with each other, with new people, and discern that call. Discern what it is that God is calling us to do when we leave these doors. Because that's the important work. This is the incarnation, friends. When you experience something new and life-giving, that is the essence of who God is made manifest in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're here. That's why we can't let Christmas just last for one day, because that's too boring. It's not just one story. It keeps going.
We said, tell me all your thoughts on God, 'cause I'd bring my way to meet her. Tell me all your thoughts on God, 'cause I'm on my way to see her. So tell me, am I very far?
Am I very far now?
Tell me all your thoughts on God.
So think about those things, folks. Think about what we are being called to do, and how are we going to live that out? Thanks be to the triune God. Amen.